Yeah, here we go. Humping around on Hump Day on the Lori and Julia Show. I'm Rocco.
Is that
push
who
the
you
buttons.
Are?
I turn the music up and down like that and that.
You're looking kind of cool today in your...
I know. I got my party shirt on.
What is that? Is that a cocktail in the pocket?
No, it's like billiards.
Oh.
I found this on eBay.
Oh, I like that shirt.
It's kind of a 70s disco shirt.
You're looking fancy. Lori and I are dressed in Arctic wear because our studio's freezing. Mm-hmm. This building's freezing. Mm-hmm. And it's freezing outside.
It is.
It's the trifecta.
I'm still in the winter fleece I've been wearing all winter.
Oh, yeah. And I'm wearing my same jacket that I've had on every day.
So glad that you... That
you're
is
bringing
one,
us fashion forward. Yes.
But that is... You're kind of known for your signature shirts.
Yeah, I buy a lot of vintage shirts. Yeah, I thought this was kind of a fun, like, 70s disco shirt. I don't really play a lot of billiards, but, you know, I figured
you can
when
look
COVID's over, this will be my going out
Remember
shirt.
Remember bumper pool? The bumper pool tables?
Oh, my. Oh, I was so bad at that.
It was a fun way of, like, meeting boys, like in
bumper pool was a little bit, and foosball
foosball
was fun, and I would just spin it and spin and spin the big handles.
People that really play foosball look down upon that.
Of course they did.
Amateur move.
Yeah, it's
big
wussy move. Plus you're screwing it up
because
no one can No one can fire up a strike shot.
No, 100%. Lori?
Yeah. No, I played foosball. Let me tell you, I spent some time at Tommy Burns in Superior and that was the thing. Foosball.
But bumper pool is kind of, I haven't seen a bumper pool table in years.
Yeah, well, I think the last one I saw, remember Stand Up Franks?
Yes. Oh,
love
I
that
feel
place.
Like they had bumper pool in the back.
I think
and there was always
did.
People on the weekends that were really good.
Yeah.
And probably
Stand Up Franks.
Franks.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. That, was
that brings me back to...
They poured some stiff drinks there.
Yes, they did.
Was that... Now, that's not the home of the Greenie. That's 20 Yarrows.
Yeah.
But they're in the same general vicinity.
Area, yeah. And then it became like, you know...
Oh, it was cool. It was called
Donnie's Den of Inequity.
But it was like a zombie bar. And it was owned by that owned...
Psycho Susie's.
And it was super cool. Like, the bartenders would have, like, white... like dead faces and the waitresses would wear these like vintage dresses and it was super
Rocco, you must have liked that.
I bet.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And then one day it went away.
It just went away. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of things.
Just on a serious note, the Minnesota cop who shot Dante
Kim
White.
Porter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's been arrested and charged and
she's in jail.
And she's in jail waiting to be bailed out, I'm sure. So that is happening. I got to give a shout out to Maggie Swanger.
You know who you are, Maggie. Who is this?
It was front page of the Duluth News Tribune, but she said she couldn't send me the link because she doesn't have a subscription. But 44 years ago today, Elvis played the Duluth Arena, no media allowed. This was
the famous concert your mom didn't go to. Tell Rocco this story because this
is so. I think we've heard it a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Just my dad was on a tour of duty, what you call
in
TDY.
Where was he?
Thailand.
Thailand. And said, you cannot go. And she listened.
Yep.
Duluth to Thailand.
Yeah. He was wildly jealous of her relationship with Elvis.
I mean, this is the funniest thing ever.
Well, you know.
Like your mom, like Elvis is going to hit on your mom.
I know, but she loved him so much.
Kind of love it.
He might give her a sweaty scarf.
Right, and he was overseas, and my sisters and I were like, just go. But, you know, she respected her husband's
dad,
wishes and didn't go, and... she's mad about it to this day if you bring it up to her. So anyway, interesting. No media allowed. And I remember my girlfriend was in housekeeping at the Radisson.
You said 40 years ago?
44 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So is that 1975?
Sure.
I don't know. Six. Can't do the math.
I'm looking up, 44. I'm looking up April 1977.
77. We're so good at the numbers.
Yeah. So it was actually not this concert because he came in 1975 to Duluth. That was the concert she.
Yeah, I'm looking at.
He came like three.
According to what I'm seeing, he was October of 76 and April of 77. That's pretty close.
Yeah.
So, and then he died 78.
77.
Right?
He died.
77.
So he was in Duluth April of 77 and he was dead August of 77.
In August. Yeah. So it would have been the 76 show.
Yeah. And if you want, if you Google Elvis in Duluth, looks like there's some bootlegs on YouTube. You can listen to the concert.
Oh.
And my girlfriend was in housekeeping at the Radisson, which is still called the Radisson, FYI. One of the few Radissons that has remained the same.
Yeah.
And it's the round circular, and they've got the restaurant up top.
Yes.
And anyway, she was in housekeeping and got to clean his room.
Okay, what did she find? Tell me.
Nothing.
There was nothing out of ordinary.
No, it was no big deal.
Did she like steal a washcloth because
it had
him?
He was there one night. Like, it was just like a, you know.
But that would be a huge deal.
She wasn't into him.
How?
Yeah.
Wrong place, wrong time. Too bad you weren't.
Uh-huh. Do you guys know what well, Rocket won't, but Julia, so I was, saw Paul Felipe last night.
Yes, you have a cute new haircut. If people look on YouTube,
cut off all my hair. It's darling. All again. He just does it. He just gets the scissors and all my hair goes flying.
Edward Scissorhand.
And he goes, it'll be back in 5 weeks, you know, is what he always tells me.
It always is.
But I was reading him hair headlines from the chair last night.
Okay, this is funny.
And one hair headline was, the Bob is back. You know, the Roaring Twenties are coming back, just like they did in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. The last Roaring Twenties, and he's just like, the Bob has never gone away. That is a classic haircut that has been around, and they can call it a lob, and a this and a that. And then I was like, well, do you know what a flob is? Because that's the latest, you know, reimagination of Bob. Because lob is the long Bob.
Bob. Flob would be...
Flob? Do you know what a flob is?
The bob in the front.
A floppy bob?
And, no, I think it's a... I think it's... Is it an angular type thing? An angular, like longer in the front, shorter in the back? Shorter in the back, longer...
The flob is when you have a bob and your hair is parted straight
in
down
middle.
The middle.
Oh.
That's flob.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's just a weird thing.
It is a weird
thing. It's a weird thing. You'd think it would be called the... Center bob or something. The flob, it doesn't make sense.
The cob, the center bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Anyway, now you've learned a hair
Now we
trick.
Know.
Now you know. So, anyway.
My hair gal had a bob yesterday, though. It's Kelly, it's blonde. She has a bob going on, and I haven't seen that. I really haven't seen a lot of bobs lately.
Well, they come and go.
They do.
You know,
they come and go.
They come and go, and it just depends, you know, like what kind of a mood you're in. And I think a lot of people are... chopping off their hair or doing really some different things because they've had pandemic hair. They haven't really, they've done different things.
I know
are going gray.
The salons are picking up though. I do know that people are going back and wanting to get rid of the gray or do some different things.
And some people weren't going to the salon until they've been vaccinated.
Right.
So yeah, there it is busier. So that's good. Anyway.
Anywho, so we now know what a flob is.
Flob, we know that. And
now, whose birthday is it today? Are we going to talk about it or no?
We'll talk about it maybe. It's a big music birthday.
Needs to be celebrated.
Loretta Lynn is 89 today. We'll
maybe I'll play some music when we come back.
That would be perfect, Rocco. Okay. It's our story we can't get enough of.
What city? Pip
Fist.
City?
Fist.
Oh, Fist City. Who wants to go to Fist City?
Love Loretta Lynn. She's 89 today, you guys.
Wow.
And still singing, right? Didn't you just put something out?
Yes, she did. Yeah.
Who wants to go to Fist City?
City. Oh, yeah. She sang, I know. Isn't that good? Because she was always singing about cheating because as you know, from watching Coal Miner's Daughter.
Yes.
Wasn't exactly a faithful man.
I love how we're supposed to remember that from when we watched it in the 80s.
Julia, I have seen Coal Miner's Daughter.
That's
so
your movie.
Many times.
Right.
I love that movie. Rocco, tell me you've seen it.
I don't know that I have. And I do love me some Loretta Lynn. I almost went and saw her, but there's the casino up by Mille Lacs. She played like 5 years
Grand
ago.
Grand Casino.
Yeah. And I was like, I should go, and I didn't.
Here's my little fun Coal Miner Daughter
fact.
Film trivia.
Okay, tell
us. Levon Helm, the drummer, the famous drummer.
From the band.
He plays Loretta Lynn's dad in that movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, and of course, Tommy Lee Jones is the dad and Sissy Spacek. I think she won an Oscar.
That really is your movie because you refer to it so much.
And Sweet Dreams, the Patsy Cline.
Right.
Those are two of the best biopics of the 80s.
I don't think
about legends.
scene. Legends. Okay. Well, yeah. That's on our list too, Rocco.
And it's available on Amazon Prime if you have it.
It's so, so good. It holds up because, of course, you know, how can it not hold up being a good, well-done biopic? It's
like, how could it not? Not,
you know what I mean?
And it's Loretta Lynn's life. How could it not? How could it disappoint?
It's so good. You know, like one day if they ever do like a biopic on Dolly, it would just be unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I mean,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of unbelievable, this did not see this coming. Robin Roberts sat down with Colton Underwood.
Who?
He's from The Bachelor. He is the one. Colton was famous for three things. He was famous for being a football player.
Mm-hmm.
He was famous for being a virgin. He wanted to wait until he was married, and he was like 26 or 27 when he was on The Bachelor. And he, so four things. He famously jumped a fence running away from
his, in during his season of The Bachelor.
Running away, and that
this has never happened before, Chris Harrison. What? We are seeing things that have never happened.
And, of course, ABC is showing it because that's The Bachelor's on that. Yep. And then he was engaged to Cassie. They broke up, and then she...
had a restraining order against him.
He put a tracking device on her car. It got very, very ugly, so...
And he wrote a memoir already.
Yes, he did write a memoir.
Like, how's he writing a what?
Yeah. So here he is sitting down one-on-one with Robin Roberts to reveal something.
So can you tell us what is on your heart that you want to share?
Yeah. Obviously, like, this year's been a lot for a lot of people, and it's probably made a lot of people look themselves in the mirror and figure out who they are and what they've been running from or what they've been putting off in their lives. And for me, I've ran from myself for a long time. I've hated myself for a long time, and I'm gay, and I came to terms with that earlier this year and have been processing it. And the next step in all of this was sort of letting people know. Still nervous, but it's been a journey for sure.
Through the nerves, I can see the joy. I can see the relief.
I mean, I'm emotional, but I'm emotional in like such a good, happy, positive way. I'm like the happiest and healthiest I've ever been in my life, and that means the world to me. And yeah.
It was really sweet, and it made me sad all over again. We just heard, remember we talked about Kate Winslet saying that she had four actor friends who could not be gay and be out loud about it. And it might be in this next clip, but I mean, this is a real story for many people still, even now in 2021.
Who can't come out and be who they are.
That's right.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's play the next part.
What was that moment like for you that gave you the courage to speak your truth as you are today?
I got into a place for me in my personal life that was dark and bad, and I can list a bunch of different things, but they'd all be excuses. But I think overall the reason why now is because I got to a place where I didn't think I was ever going to share this. I would have rather died than say I'm gay. And I think that was sort of my wake-up call.
Did you ever think about harming yourself?
Yeah. There was a moment in LA that I woke up and I didn't think I was going to wake up. I didn't have the intentions of waking up, and I did. And I think for me that was like my wake-up call of like, this is your life. Take back control. And I think looking back even beyond that is like even just suicidal thoughts and, you know, driving my car close to a cliff, like, oh, if this goes off the cliff, it's not that big of a deal. I don't feel that anymore.
I mean,
it was really touching.
Really?
And it's so sad in so many ways because he said he's known since he was 6 years old.
Well, yeah, that's something that people say. The thing that struck me was that the feeling I'd rather die
than be who I am.
Gay. And
right.
Then he's talked about growing up Catholic, and that would, you know, he couldn't imagine, and he did apologize to Cassie.
Which he needs to.
And, you know, I mean, boy, you were running hard from being gay to go on The Bachelor and literally have
three times.
Yeah, because he was Bachelor in Paradise. I felt for him. And
I did too.
I really, you know, and it makes me sad that there are people that, you know, that is still a true feeling
that you
people
can't
have. I'd rather
be
die
who you
than
are.
Say I'm gay.
You that's know, terrible.
That's just sad. So I'm glad that he's being brave, you know, to share it. And I know some people were like yelling at him because I guess he's got...
he's got a Netflix special that they're working on. They've been following. It's a project that's weeks into filming. And they're going to have multiple episodes. They're going to have like Olympian Gus Kenworthy is going to appear on the show. I don't know if he's another gentleman that's come out recently or something. But... if this helps other people, and you speak your truth and you can be free of that, I mean, wow.
He's getting a lot of support from Bachelor Nation. Chris Harrison broke his silence.
Yep.
But people basically just told him to go back to his room and sit in the corner.
Chris Andy Cohen, Andy Cohen from Watch What Happens Live says, you're free now.
Yeah.
A toaster's on its way.
Right. I mean, he literally jumped the fence to get away from the women. And Billy,
I know he did.
Billy Eichner, during his season, had a thing. He said, maybe you're the first gay bachelor and we don't even know. They were like having a conversation or something.
It was because we talked a lot about having a bachelor that's gay, not gay, excuse me, a bachelor that is a virgin at 26 years old. I never went there though.
No, I didn't.
We never at all and just thought,
really,
okay.
In hindsight, maybe that was a thing, but yep. I just thought sometimes, you know, if some people really, truly, they make that vow to, you know, they're going to save their virginity. I personally couldn't handle taking someone's virginity and walked away from a very beautiful virgin who was 23.
Well, you were 92 and he was 23,
Laurie.
No,
Julie, I was 25 and he was 23.
I remember this.
I couldn't in good conscience. Wow. And I'd felt everything. And let me tell you, it was a real sacrifice.
He was a goalie.
He was something, but I was just like, no, I can't handle your virginity.
Yeah, he had a solid stick.
So,
okay.
Anyway, good. You know, Colton, we're happy for you.
And I think so, right?
Now the Bachelor fans are demanding. They would like a gay bachelor. But it can't be Colton.
Okay,
maybe
no.
It could be.
He says he's never had an emotional connection with a man yet in his life, which... That's sad, too.
Don't worry.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
He will be. All right. Mm-hmm. Holly, what's happening with the traffic? Oh, we are so delighted right now. Back by popular demand, we have Get Growing with Larry Farr with us, and his Instagram account is Get Growing Minnesota. Larry, who knew it would be snowing today?
You know what? Before we begin, happy National Gardening Day to you.
Is that what today is?
Today is, in my world, every day is gardening day.
So, right.
Yeah, but today is National Gardening Day. So how we lucked out here?
We did.
Larry, I have to say, Larry, you were so much fun to follow on social media. I love the pictures that you post, your positivity, your joy of gardening and farm life. It's just wonderful.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I mean, gardening... You know, this is something I wanted to talk about. I guess we'll jump right into it. You know, gardening should be happy. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was garden failures. And the reason I want to talk to you about that is I've received so many messages in the last month or so, and they all are basically some version of, last year was my first year gardening, and I didn't do so well. Or I want to garden this year, veggie garden, and I don't want to fail. And, you know, I do talk about the positivity and how much fun it is, mm-hmm. but every year I've been doing this forever and I still have failures year after year. You have to remember, especially with vegetable gardening, whether it's a big plot of land or a container on your deck, you are in essence a farmer, and so much of farming is dependent on the weather. I mean, I can guarantee this summer it's going to be too hot, too wet, too dry, or too cold, and the only one that you can control is if it's too dry, just to get out there and water. So think of your garden as a classroom where you learn every single year. I've been doing this since about the time I could walk, and I learn every single year, both from my successes and my failures.
Okay, this is just, that's so good. We are all farmers. Now that we've established that for everybody, Larry, tell us what we should be doing right now in our farm.
Well, you can... All right. Well, you can still start tomato plants from seeds if you want. You can also start some of the vine crops. I would wait for another week or so. That'd be the cucumbers, the squash, all of that. I haven't started those yet. I'll probably be doing that next week. It's getting a little bit late to start peppers and eggplant seeds indoors, but you also could start a lot of flower seeds right now. So you can do all of that. And once we get past this cold snap, you can get outside and you can plant pansies, snapdragons, if you want to fill your planters with the cool season crops or the cool weather crops. And you can also, if you want to, plant the cool season vegetables like cabbage, cauliflower, kale, broccoli. Once we get past this little cold snap, you can get those in the ground as well.
Okay, I have a question for you, and I love knowing that because I always knew that about pansies. Didn't know that about snapdragons or cabbage. I guess I did because in the fall we have cabbage. Yep. But here's... I know I have bought a couple of bulb contain, like I got a really pretty pot of daffodils and then hyacinth from like Kowalski's and Trader Joe's. They're blooming.
Ace Hardware.
Yeah. But I mean, they're blooming. I did get a lily from
Fratelloni's.
Is it okay when those die off, when the blooms are, is that when we put them in the ground if we want to try to keep those bulbs?
Yeah, so you know what you can do with those is keep them indoors in the bright. Once they're done blooming, put them in a south or west facing window. Wait till we get a little bit warmer.
Okay.
Which I would wait until May on those.
All right.
And then you can plant them in the ground, but plant them deeper than they are in the container. So you're going to probably plant like the hyacinths or the mixed bulbs or even the lily about 4 inches deeper than they are in the container. And there's a 50-50 chance you might get them to rebloom. A lot of those bulbs have been forced indoors
into
bloom, won't rebloom. Next year, they might just come up and be green next year, fertilize them in the spring next year, and you might get them to bloom the year after. But I kind of have a mixed bag of luck when I try to get those to rebloom.
Yeah, okay. I just can't bear to like throw it away. Without
that
even trying.
That makes three of us who can't throw plants out.
Okay, so, you know, one of the things that you talked about is warm season crops and that it's important to look at the soil temperature, not just the air temperature. Give us a little bit more about that.
So I just talked about cool season crops, cool weather crops, but then we talk about warm season vegetables, which are your tomatoes, your peppers, your eggplants, and all those vine crops. We say warm weather. What we really should talk about is warm soil temperatures. Mm. I had two people message me when we hit 80 degrees and ask if it was okay to plant tomatoes, which it's not. We want to wait until the soil is about 65. You could get by with 60 degrees, but 65 to 70 degree soil is way better. And I just went online and looked. You can look this up. Soil temperatures where I live down by Le Sueur were 42 degrees this morning. So don't think about any of those warm crops until about the middle of May.
Okay.
All right. Now, how about this for those of us who either want to do this or have someone who will do this honeydew project? Any tips for clearing your flower beds right now? Like, is there any early weeding activism that we can do? Or can we pull out all that, you know, maybe whatever? I know you told us sometimes there's bugs in there, but you know how there's dead stuff. What can we do to, like, prepare our flower beds? That annuals are coming up, but so are weeds.
Well, you can pull the weeds out. If you haven't cut back your perennials, we want to wait until we've had a warm spell, which we've already had, or a significant warm period, to cut back your perennials and stuff, because there's beneficial insects that live, lay their eggs and live in the stems of those plants. So you can go out and do that. You can still prune back shrubs if you need to. The shrubs that bloom in the spring, like lilacs, rhododendrons, and azaleas, don't prune them until after they're done blooming. If you prune them now, you're going to cut the flowers off. So don't touch anything that blooms in the spring. Now, the summer blooming shrubs like spirea and potentilla and hydrangeas, they can be pruned back now, and they'll regrow. Make sure you do some homework on what kind of hydrangeas you have, because there's three different kinds that grow in Minnesota, and each of the three have different pruning needs.
Okay.
Yeah, because is the one that looks like a cotton ball, are those a hydrangea?
Endless summer.
Not the pretty ones, but they're like everywhere.
They're hydrangeas.
Like the panicle hydrangeas, they've got kind of a cone-shaped flower
on them. Yes,
those you'll just lightly trim back. And then we've got the smooth hydrangeas, which is like the Annabelle, the old variety. Those you cut all the way down to the ground.
Really?
And then there's the big leaf hydrangeas, which is like the, let's think here, on the big leaf hydrangeas, we've got Endless Summer Series, mm-hmm. Bloomstruck, and all of those. Those you wait just to see where they start growing, and you just cut off anything that's dead. They'll either start from below ground or some of the stems from last year. So you really need to know what type you have, and then you'll know how to prune them.
All right.
On the hydrangeas.
Right.
All right. So when you talk about planting, you can start seeds indoors. Do we just get like an egg carton and put some dirt in it and start planting little seeds for flowers?
You know, the egg carton works, but I've never had good luck with it because they don't hold enough soil. You can use other containers that have a little bit more, can hold some more of that seed-starting soil, or get some seed-starting trays. The big thing is, you know, make sure you give them bright light. If you're going to start things now, you could probably get by in that west-facing or south-facing window. Ideally, you have grow lights that you can grow things under or start them under. It's just, even in a west window or south window, you're not getting quite enough light to get seeds to really grow well indoors.
Oh my. My, yeah. Oh my, oh my.
How about for our window boxes, or could we put our dirt in yet, or keep our dirt like in our soil, potting soil that we're going to use for window boxes, keep it in the garage, keep it warm? Why get it cold?
You know what? It's going to cool down once you put it out. You can put that back out now. If you take those containers or those window boxes indoors, you can put them back out. You should replace at least half of the potting soil in those each year, or remove some of the old potting soil. And if you make your own compost, add some compost back in. But you should freshen that soil up a little bit each year.
I just get, I compost all of it. And just start fresh every year. It seems to make your flowers the happiest.
And you know what? I try to at least remove half, if not two-thirds, from all the containers. The old soil goes out into the big vegetable garden. But yeah, I try to replace it as well. Especially if you get a lot of roots in there from the previous year.
Right.
It doesn't give enough space for the new things to grow.
That's exactly right.
That is true, isn't it? I'm so excited. Well, you are... you're making us happy with these
dreams of flowers and vegetables.
No, I know. I'm seeing buds on the trees now, and the grass is so green. It's just so joyful.
It is that time of year, and, you know, we'll start taping for KSDP in hopefully a week or two. And, I'm very excited about everything we've got planned for the coming season.
Oh, good.
Mary, on just an animal husbandry note, are the bunnies mating right now? Because I have been seeing some bunny... dancing, they jump up and down and like swat at each other. I mean, I have the most active bunnies in my yard, and they're doing a dance, and it involves slapping each other.
I think bunnies, you can find them mating at any time of year, except winter, of course.
But they don't follow the rules.
I don't think they do in the winter, but I think they're definitely probably doing that right now, doing a, you know, some kind of love dance.
They're so frisky, and they jump, they face each other, and they give a stare off, and then they both bound up in the air, and sometimes one of them slaps the other one, and I don't know, maybe it's just the pandemic. My eyes are sick of looking at TV, and I'm looking out the window.
Yeah, or I don't know what their role models are.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for pointing that out. Well, should we talk to you in a month to find out what we should be doing then?
You know what? We could talk in a month or even a couple of weeks. A lot of things happen fast at this time of year.
Okay. Well, we're thrilled to have you. And people, you can follow Larry, Get Growing MN, on Instagram or Facebook, Get Growing with Larry Farr, PHARR. We appreciate your help, Larry.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day and happy gardening day.
Happy gardening day back at you. We'll be right back. Chip never ends.
Well, there's an afternoon emergency going on over at the Ellen Show. Her daytime talk show keeps dropping. It's dropped another 11%. It's now on par with Maury Povich and Wendy ratings. Wow. So the serious problem. Maybe this is why she keeps flipping her houses. Last 2 weeks ago, Ellen's talk show went down to 800,000 viewers.
Okay, that feels extreme.
Which was 300,000 viewers since the beginning of the season that she's lost. Kelly and Ryan, Live with Kelly and Ryan, mm-hmm. that's their 1.8 million, and Ellen used to be like 2.2. So to go from 2.2 mm-hmm. to 800,000 is huge. Roger Friedman writes, low-quality shows like Wendy Williams and Maury Povich beating Ellen in daytime ratings has got to be causing a crisis at CBS. At the same time, also the Game of Games, I don't like that show anyway.
Well,
but
I never watched those.
It's lost half of its audience. That used to be 3 million, mm-hmm. and that's about 1.5 million. And so some of it could be, you know, that there's low viewership for syndicated shows in the last couple of weeks because people are covering the trial and there's been breaking news, a lot of breaking news.
There's been
and
a
stuff.
Lot going on. Yep.
But anyway, this is all a bad omen for May Sweeps Week.
Right.
Too, because no one really has that much to promote because stuff isn't ready yet.
This is what I would like to say about how fun our job's been this last year.
Well, Julia, we're not complaining about our jobs.
At all. But I mean, seriously, there isn't anything going on. So there's no guests that need to go on. There's nothing. But, you know, I'm wondering if she's on in most markets in the afternoon. I don't know if that has something to do with, you know, it or if it's just.
No, Ellen is on. It's on every day. Here. Yeah. I wonder if it's just, you know. Julia,
you're the one who would watch it.
Toxic work environment and backstage chaos with the person who comes out, the disconnect, people can't unsee it.
Yeah.
That, how do you get that back? That's the bigger problem.
Right.
Really.
Right. And I think in general, network television too, I mean, I agree with what's going on with Ellen and that's
hard crisis. To unsee that with her. Like people were, and then she did such a crappy apology. It was just like such a, and people were just like, okay, so she's not real either.
Right.
You know?
Because I do feel like the late night shows are getting guests and Kelly Clarkson's getting guests. Yeah. And I saw the lovely John Corbett on with Kelly and Ryan this morning.
That's right.
Looking all
Yeah, he looks so good. And I still haven't watched Rebel yet.
Oh, it's good, Lori. So, all right. So
I heard there's a big twist at the end.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. You know.
It's good. Rocco, that would be a good show if you like Katie Segal.
I do like Katie Segal.
That is a good show. But I, can I tell you about TV for mm-hmm. a second? So This Is Us came back last night. Now, they usually.
And so did Big Sky with a 2-hour episode.
And I started watching that and fell asleep, but I watched This Is Us this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Brotherly Love, and it's, you know, Randall and
Kevin.
Had a big blowout fight where they said horrible things to each other about a year ago and they addressed it in this issue. But I want to say this about This Is Us because I've gone in and out with that show this year and wavered. And I think it's because it's not on every week, then it's on and blah, 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 blah. But what they've done, and that show's ratings have dropped.
Yeah.
I mean, they're struggling. I think last night they had people back, but they're struggling because of being on some weeks, off some weeks. But what that show has done. And initially it bothered me that they were addressing so much coronavirus and what we're going through right now. But what they've done with race and the conversations that they've had around race have been so meaningful this year because they really focused on Randall's character and his wife's and their history and being a black adopted boy in a white family.
Right.
The conversation, even last night that they had resonated. Between two brothers, it's really powerful. And so I'm thinking if people have stopped watching it, because the coronavirus thing at the beginning was kind of just, you didn't want it. And you were bugged by his relationship with the mother of his twins, you know.
Kevin's girlfriend. Yeah.
It always wraps up at the end. And it has been really cool and meaningful to me to listen to their dialogue of things I've never heard about or thought about, you know, and it's subconscious things that you just don't think about. And it really, it's meaningful.
It's emotionally powerful the way the writers.
It is something.
Express.
But about everything. Race this year, it has been especially meaningful.
Yeah.
The conversations are meaningful. And I think for a family watching it, you would be able to see and start different conversations that you wouldn't be able to start otherwise.
And I love that Felicia Rashad is back. I mean, she's like moved in with those guys.
Yeah.
So we're getting more of her because that's also an interesting relationship to explore is, you know, the dynamics between moms and daughters.
Right.
And, you know, so it
and is. And sexuality. It's yes. putting every, it's really looking at our world right now.
Yeah, it is.
But in a meaningful way that is entertaining too, because it's a TV show.
Right.
You know, so right. I just give it thumbs up.
Well, I give Big Sky thumbs up. You are in for a 2-hour episode where we meet all kinds of new people, including Ted Levine, who played famously Buffalo Bill.
Mm-hmm.
In Silence of the Lambs, he was in The Bridge. That whole ranch family's got a connection to Cat. That was good. Rocco, we love that show, Big Sky.
It's been off the air for so long. So it came back last night and had low ratings, but people didn't know it was on. So people see it in their DVRs today. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it was 2 hours. So I didn't get to watch This Is Us.
Oh, I'll be curious what you think, because I think it's powerful.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be good. In other TV news, Project Runway star Christian Siriano. Now, Radar says, finally pulls the plug on marriage, files for divorce 3 years after split. Oh, that's why. They've been split for three.
Here's how I read that headline. They've been together 3 years and finally split. So there's dyslexia.
No. They broke up 3 years ago. Christian Siriano, he's a mentor for the Bravo, you know, for Project Runway. He took
that's
over
for fierce.
Fierce.
He was like, he's the most successful.
He was 21 when he won season 4, and he's estimated to be worth about $10 million. So maybe it took 3 years to figure out how much money to make this ex-husband go away.
Mm-hmm. Because he's really successful.
Yeah. Here's a report for you, Julia. The Real Housewife of Salt Lake City cast and producers feel traumatized after feds demanded to know where Jen was. And that they felt that they had been, you know, like kind of invaded, like they had no idea what was happening. And then I don't believe the producers were traumatized for it. They were probably like having immediate meeting. But her co-stars said they were in the hot seat. Well, Jen was traveling in a van with her castmates. She was reportedly tipped off by her husband, Coach Shaw, that the authorities were looking to arrest her, and she bolted after making an excuse as to why she had to leave so suddenly. Her exit shocked everyone, but they were blindsided by what happened next. Tamara Tattles, which is kind of a good little blogger website, that when the feds pulled the van over, they were very pushy, particularly with the production team. Where is Jennifer Shaw? We have a warrant for her arrest. Well, maybe they were really upset and they didn't know where she went.
So
Jen had lied to them about why she had to leave.
Okay.
And after they questioned everybody individually, they let them get back in the van and continue their trip. Geez, I hope cameras were rolling for that.
Same.
There's no way that the federal authorities would say, okay, we'll be on camera with the rest.
One can hope.
No.
All right.
No.
When we come back, it's time for Pop Culture Jeopardy. And
it isn't, that's, Julia. That's it's only 4 o'clock.
Oh, oops.
Yeah.
Time flies, I thought, when you're having fun.
We are having fun.
We'll be back.